Okay, let's get started. Good morning. Again, Pastor Mick is away for this weekend, but I am here, Pastor Andy. We are on going through a series of discerning God's very best, or how He's designed you. And each of us, it's called SHAPE. Anyone remember what SHAPE actually means? It's an acronym. SHAPE means spiritual gifts, your heart or your passions, your abilities. P means personality, and E is experience or your story. So that's what SHAPE means. And today we are talking about personality, that we all have different personalities. And in fact, God has wired us differently with different personalities. So today what you're going to learn, hopefully fresh or new, is not only about your personality, but maybe those around you as well. So not only do we all have a personality, I think it's important for us to understand personally our personalities. Why should we understand and be aware of our personality? Someone just throw it out there. Anyone? Right. So you get to know how you express yourself to others. How about anyone else? Yeah. So your personality is what God has given you. We'll talk a little bit about that. Is it nature and nurture? Is it nature versus nurture? Like, where does personality come from? But yes, personality does come from God. We are tended to be wired certain ways. And there's no wrong or right when it comes to personality, just to understand that we have different personalities. Anything else when it comes to personalities? Why should we know about our personalities? Yes, absolutely. So great answer there. When we understand our personalities, we become more self-aware. And sometimes, mostly in relationships, those closest to us, it kind of cuts off the edge of the personalities when we're extreme or when we're eager. That was the word. But it builds self-awareness. So when you understand personality, you are self-aware. And when you're self-aware, you can understand some of the blind spots that you and I have in our personalities. Because if we don't understand our blind spots, they tend to blindside us in our relationships or at our workplaces or even in church life. So that's one of the big key reasons why we should understand personalities. What else is something that we should know about when we are self-aware or understand, or then when we know our personalities? What else? Someone mentioned it really quickly, but you can celebrate what God has done in you, that He's created you this way. It's, you know, sometimes it's so easy to think, well, I wish I had someone else's personality, or I wish I had a better personality. No, you have a personality, and God has wired you that way. You need to celebrate what God has done in and through you when it comes to personality. So today, what I'm going to share with you really quickly in the next 45 minutes max is propose to you that how important it is to understand your personality. We'll give you some assessments as well that you can take home. So that's the first thing. The second thing that we really want to encourage you with is that God has created you with a personality, and you need to be aware of the different forms of personalities. In fact, there's 16 different personalities that God has shaped us, as we know with experts, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. The third thing is, not only should we understand or be aware, or that we could celebrate what God has done, the last one, which is important, is that unfortunately, we all have broken personalities. And because of stress, or because of pain, because of your story that Pastor Mick is going to talk about next week, your experience, your life story, sometimes our personalities can become skewed or heightened or broken. And so how do we walk through those things? How do we understand our personalities? How can we celebrate our personalities? And how can we be aware that all of us, unfortunately, are broken personally with our personalities, and to let Jesus heal us or make us whole with all the different things that come at us in life? You ready for today? Okay, let me pray. Lord, we pause today and we just pray that you would speak to us, that you would reveal to us how you've created us. And whether we're young or old, or we understand our personalities or tendencies, or maybe our trends or themes that we tend to know about ourselves, Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us, that we wouldn't be led just by our personalities, but we would be led by the Holy Spirit, and that we would celebrate how you've wired us and created us so that somehow, some way, as Pastor Nathan has mentioned today, we would be a Paul to a Timothy, or that we would be a Barnabas to someone around us like a Paul, or that we would know who to reach out to, those Timothys in our lives. And we pray for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Think of the coffee that's in front of you, if you have a coffee or a water bottle. And think of around the table if you don't have that. But I just want you to quickly, just an illustration, when it comes to a water bottle or a cup of coffee on your table, and you have people around you, there's different perspectives on that coffee mug or coffee or that Coke, who has ever having a Coke in the morning. You know, like you have to get to that point to understand that there's different perspectives, and different doesn't necessarily mean evil or bad, but that God has created us beautifully as a family. So that's the first thing I want to share with you today, is that there's different personalities, up to 16 with Myers-Briggs, and that each of us have a personality to be interwoven together in community. That's a beautiful reality. The church can be better than the Canucks winning the Stanley Cup. The church can be better and more fun than Disneyland. The church can be the very best place on earth if the church knows how to respond to different personalities in love and in acceptance and in community. So that's the first thing I want to share with you today, that we're going to talk about a bunch of different personalities, but when it's not about your personality, don't just try to piece off in your mind and think about Swiss Chalet after today or whatever that looks like, even though it's shut down, but whatever your other favorite restaurant you have. The second thing that I want to share with you really quickly is I have four wonderful kids all the way from age 16 to age 10. And each of them have different personalities, even with their birth, as we discipline them, as we teach them, as we come alongside them. Each of them have to have certain different angles up from us as parents to parent them well. So what works well with Joseph, who is on stage today, doesn't necessarily work well with my other son named Ben. So Ben and Sam were fighting the other day, and it was about a video game online, and we give them about 15, 20 minutes each, and then they alternate, and then they play Lego, all those different things. Well, one son was getting really mad at the other son because it was 21 minutes. Not 20 minutes, 21 minutes. He was over, and he wanted to make that known. Now, he didn't come to his mom and dad about that. He made that known to his brother. How? Well, by pushing him off the chair, and the other one is trying to get into the chair, so there's only one chair there, trying to push himself onto the chair, and what happens? Well, there's screaming, there's arguing, there's even name-calling, and of course, mom and dad hear about this, so we go down and say, hey, what's the issue? Well, this was my brother was a minute off. He's too far, and as he's timing it, he has a timer on his device, and it goes off, and he's like, that's it, I'm it, it's my turn. And there was no grace there. There was no conversation, no relationship. It was just like, me, 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 me. So we're trying to teach them, like, hey, like, when something goes wrong, come talk to dad or talk to mom, and we will deal with it. So one of my sons turned to the other son and said, you know what? When you're wrong, I'm going to tell dad that you're wrong, and I'm right, and I need dad to know that he is on my side because you're wrong and I'm right. Like he wasn't getting it. So his personality was coming out, and I needed to have more of a relational conversation with him. So we all have different personalities. So to recap what we're going through with Shape is that we are all on a journey to discover how God has designed us, the fingerprints that God has put in our lives, and exploring God's very best when it comes into this earth. It is to understand that even in the weaknesses and the strengths and the joys and the challenges that you face with your personality or your life is all considered God's fingerprints in your life. It's what makes you unique. It's your personality. And because you are unique and because you are original, because you are one of a kind, God has created you with this purpose. And so we're going to interact with the Bible today. So I hope that you have your Bibles. If you don't, you can go on your phone and Google the passage of scripture that's on your outline in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And I want to share with you a couple interactive personalities when it comes to Jesus. You might have heard this story before, and it's quite a famous story, but we want to interact with this story a little bit about the personalities that we have when we come to Jesus, okay? So we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. So if you're at Luke chapter 10, verse 38, let me read it to you really quickly here. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So in other words, she invited Jesus and his disciples to have a meal together. As you would know, this is not Starbucks. This is not McDonald's drive-thru. This is not skip the dishes where, you know, the meal's made in 30 minutes or less, or you get a $5 promo code. You know, like, that's not the case. This woman has created an opportunity to be inviting Jesus and his disciples, and she is making a meal. She's prepping for the King of Kings to come in and have a meal with her. Like, imagine what that would look like. Think about you inviting a family member or a friend over, honored guest. Like, your house needs to be perfect, especially in our place. You know, you have to have the marinated chicken, not just the barbecue chicken. You need to have the organic vegetables that aren't very cheap right now. You know, like, you go full out, right? You give your very best to create space to invite honored guests. And this is what is happening in this context. Martha opens up her home to have an honored guest with the disciples. They're probably pretty hungry. They're 12 guys. It's like steak and lobster type feel. You know, like, again, this is not McDonald's. She is giving her very best here, right? Likewise, you and I would do the same. Verse 30, she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he was saying or said. So think about Martha's preparing the meal. Jesus is reclining in, the living room, and the disciples are there. Mary's there and she's preparing everything. And she's, she's frustrated with her sister not helping. So she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, well, I find very interesting, didn't come to Mary and asked her. He comes to Jesus, right? Like, Jesus, like, talk to my sister here, you know? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me. So it's not like a pat on the back to Mary, like, hey, Mary, can you help me out? She goes right to Jesus. I find that hilarious, just to be in that. And he says this, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed or intended, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So there's some key lessons in here. What are some of the personality traits that you see in Mary and Martha in this passage of scripture? Upset. So Martha. Yeah. So she's upset. Right. Sure. So Mary proposably might be more hungry for God's word, more relational, and Martha is more task-orientated. Yeah, task-orientated or hospitality. There's nothing wrong with either of these. There's no negatives here, but we're just trying to pull out the personalities that are represented here. Anything else that you see between Mary and Martha?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Another way to put it is, if you've ever heard of the five love languages, Martha would have had the acts of service. Like, if this is out of worship to the Lord, to Jesus, acts of service, hospitality would be really big. I want to create the best meal ever. If you came to my home, if I invited you, this would be hilarious. But if I invited you into my house tonight and I went to see my wonderful wife, say, hey, babe, we're going to have a bunch of people over, she'd be freaking out because she's like, oh, my house isn't ready. You know, I need to dust this. I need to do this, this, this. I'm like, no, don't worry. We'll just bring pizza over. You know, like, but Mary, on the other hand, it was quality time. And so, again, no right or wrong here, but we see the expressions of personality coming out. Anything else? May I propose, because we don't have too much time, may I propose that all of us actually need to have Marys and Marthas in our lives, and that in depending on the timing and the season of life, that we should both be Mary and Martha. There's a time to work and there's time to rest. Yeah, there's time to sit at the feet of Jesus. He whispers to us, especially as we have relationship with him, and we are motivated by grace for works. It's both. It's not and or. What's very interesting here, though, is someone picked it up, is that Martha is actually very frustrated with Mary and goes to Jesus about it. I don't know if Jesus was teaching about something. Like, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. It's not just the words of God. It's the word. Jesus is there. He's speaking. As he spoke, as we see in Genesis 1, he spoke into creation. It wasn't like a magic wand or the presence of the Lord. He spoke into it. Like, imagine being Martha and you're interrupting Jesus' words as he's speaking life into others. Like, I don't know how that would look like, but I assume that because she's distracted, she disrupts Jesus. And he doesn't chastise her. He just says, oh, Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things. But in this time, as I'm here, have relationship with me. I think it's both. So we see that there's personalities that reveal ourselves. And Jesus here, as you see, actually celebrates and he challenges us in both of our personalities. So I want to encourage you that with that today, is that we need to allow Jesus into our personalities. So many times we see Jesus through our personalities, but when's the last time you let Jesus into your personality to celebrate and to challenge? To celebrate all the good things that you do with your personality, but at the same time challenge you with all the blind spots that we have in our personality. And we need to be humble enough to say that that's okay. And the one that had all personalities, the 16 personality traits of Myers-Briggs, would be Jesus. Jesus actually had all personalities. You and I don't. So let's go through this really quickly about, okay, what does this look like around your personality, about being self-aware? So again, we're going to try to go through this very quickly of what it means to have different personalities. So sociologists suggest that there is four different styles or models of personality. And so as you see in your outline, there's a dominant personality that likes to be in control. That would be Martha. That's the task-orientated people. If you are task-orientated, you might want to be in control. Now, it's not a control issue where you want to dominate over other people. It's just that you have a quality control that you want to give your very best. Now, don't poke your husband or wife about this or point fingers of who's dominant or not. It's just to realize that there are personalities that like to be in control, and that is okay. God has created you that way. It's quality control. It would be like Martha. But then you see that there's a relational personality that like to be with people and are fun to be around. They're the socialites. They are distracted by relationship, if you want to call it that way. They love people. They are filled inside when they're with people. Relational people would be like Mary. Mary's like, I don't care what we're eating, whether it is soup or steak or lobster. My sister's taking care of that. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear and know Jesus. So there's a relational personality. The third one is a steady personality, those who are dependable workers and good listeners. Dependable workers and good listeners. This basically means that you're the steady Eddie. You're not necessarily motivated by emotions. You're not motivated by the world events that are happening. You're not, motivated by drama. You're just motivated to say, I'm steady Eddie. I just want to keep going on my way. And you're a dependable worker. You're a good listener. You're someone that your personality doesn't get skewed by many things around you. And then the fourth one is detail personalities, which people like to do the right things. In other words, there's a right way to do things. Now, this is different than someone who's in control. This is someone that just wants to make sure that it's done right. Now, imagine putting Jesus in all these areas of the Martha, Mary story, and you could see that their personalities are coming up. But not only that, imagine if these personalities don't have Jesus in them. You can see where conflict wants to rise. Now, conflict isn't necessarily bad when it's redemptive, but when it's pulling each other down or hurtful or hateful comments come out or suggestions or actions, then we can see that God is not necessarily working in these personalities. My question is, a personal question, you don't have to answer it in front of everybody here today, but in your own mind, is which personality do you tend to lean to the most? Which personality, you might want to put a star there or put an asterisk there. Are you someone who likes to be in control? Someone that wants to make sure everything is done in a way that A and B equal C. And if it doesn't equal C, you tend to stress out. Okay, so stress behavior reveals to some degree that what personalities we are or not. Maybe you're a relational personality and you like to be around people and you invite people to your house all the time. And maybe your spouse is like, oh, I'm peopled out. People are stressing me out. You know, social media is stressing me out. Oh, I'm around too many people. You know, that's okay as long as you realize that perhaps if your stress indicators reveal that you don't want to be around people all the time, perhaps you're not a relational personality. Now, I find very interesting that we tend to ideal our personalities. I just want you to be real today with me when you ask yourself, okay, I'm a kind of a control gut person, but I'd like to be relational. That's not what I'm trying to say here. What I'm trying to say here is self-awareness, as we've talked about. If you want to understand your personality, you need to be self-aware. So please don't say to yourself, yeah, I'm the kind of control freak, but I'm also very relational. Well, thank you, friends. But what I'm trying to say here is just be honest with yourself. And then those who are steady is dependable. They're good listeners. They go with the flow. They don't want to raise up any type of, you know, stink, if I could put it that way. You know, they're dependable. And detail is they just are very, very administrative. Administrative skills tend to come up. So there's ways to understand your personality. Again, these are just some overarching realities, and I will give you some more later on as we go throughout the morning. Any questions when it comes to dominant, relational, steady, or detailed personalities, according to sociologists? Any questions? Clear as mud? Oh, let me go through that really quickly with you. So dominant personalities like to be in the blank control. They like to be in control. Sorry if I didn't explain myself well. The second one is relational personalities like to be with people. So they're filled with people. They're kind of like our party people. They're the ones that everyone's always over at their house, and they love hospitality. They're the Marthas to some degree. I found it very interesting that Martha invited Jesus in, but it was Mary who was with Jesus. So that's relational. Steady personalities are dependable and good listeners. And detail people like to do things right. Right. And like I mentioned before, put an asterisk or in your mind mentally, write down what you think is your personality, what you tend to lean to. Again, these are for self-awareness reasons. These are for opportunities for you to understand and those blind spots, as well as to celebrate what God has done in your life. What's very interesting too is we tend to attract, or we tend to be with people that are opposite of us. So those who like to be in control, they are necessarily with relational people. And those who, you know, want to do right, well, they are usually with people who are good or dependable listeners. When you put two people who want to be in control without Jesus, it's like putting gas and fire together. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why God brings us together in love. But then there's also another personality model that I want to share with you briefly. And it comes from Rick Warren from The Purpose-Driven Life. And it's a fantastic read if you haven't read it already. He says that there's four different realities as well when it comes to how we express our personality. So the first one is talkers. Talkers love to talk. They are important because in the blank there is communication is very important in life. It's to communicate. So there's people that if they, let's say we just pick on a issue and someone has an issue and they want to communicate that to you and you say, oh, just wait, give me 5 minutes and you're on your cell phone or, you know, you're distracted by certain things or, you know, you don't want to talk because you're more reflective, that person's stress behavior tends to rise. So those who want to communicate, they want to get everything out on the table so that they can actually not only express how they feel or what they're going through, but at the same time, be able to walk out or process what they're feeling and thinking. So those are communicators or to communicate. So talkers love to think that the very most important way is to communicate in their relationships. The second one is feelers. Feelers feel things very deeply. They are important because compassion, as you see in your blank there, is so important in life. So they don't necessarily think, you know, communication is very important, but the first thing that they experience is compassion or empathy or feeling, and that becomes really important. The third one is thinkers. Thinkers are analytical people who like to think through things. They're cognitive. They are important because reflection, as you see in your outline, is so important in life, and we need people who can think through complex issues. So according to Rick Warren, there is talkers, there's feelers, there is thinkers, and as you see with the fourth one here in your outline, there are doers. Doers get things done. They are important because life works best when things get done. Things get done, as you see in your outline. Now, again, this is just another self-awareness tool. There's many different contexts. But again, we ask the simple question is this, what way do you express your personality best? Is it through communication? Is it through compassion? Is it through reflection? Or is it through getting things done? And you need to understand that it's important to know, again, to be self-aware, especially when stress behavior wants to rise, because you might want to go to the extreme. So if I'm someone who wants to communicate and with my wonderful wife and we're stressed out and I want to communicate and she's like, no, I don't want to communicate about this, then I need to respect her and love her enough to not communicate. Now, for me, when I stress out, I just go to task versus relationship. Like I go cognitive rather than communicate. And so I need to be aware of that. And it's the same thing with you and I. When stress behavior comes up, let's say something happens at work or outside of your control, whether it's around finances or around the world, maybe it's broken relationships you're facing or there is a situation at home. It could be health issues. We all go through stressful situations. It's really important to understand, hey, if I'm more like this, that there's extremes on both sides and that those extremes tend to make our edges a little sharper and that we need to learn how to allow Jesus to speak in these areas. Now, really quickly, if we went to this second part of the personality, where would you think Mary and Martha would line up in those first the second part? Talkers, feelers, thinkers, and doers. What would you think Martha is when she expressed her personality? Doer, yeah, absolutely. Highlighted, doer. And she's stressed out, right? She's stressed out because you see the frustration with her sister and she goes a second side of it, which is to communicate. She bypassed her sister and she went right to Jesus to communicate because stress is high. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just to realize that there's stress. Now, again, what would Mary be? Feeler. Feeler, relational for sure. Feeler. Someone said, sorry, what? Vision? Yeah, she had vision. What was important? She had an overall picture there. Yeah, so it's just really important to understand where you are and how stress behavior fits. So if we're going to do this around tables, if this is okay, so we're going to take like a 3-minute, 5-minute break from me talking. And in your outline, as you see there, if someone was to ask you to give a brief outline on your personality, what characteristics would you include? What characteristics would you include? Now, be gracious with yourself. And spouses, be gracious to your spouse. But in any context, what characteristics do you think represent your personality? Okay? We'll give you 3 minutes to share that around the room or around your table. Okay, 2 minutes, friends, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Okay, friends, let's try to bring us together. So I know you had some great conversations about your personality, and hopefully it wasn't like my personality is better than your personality. I hope that didn't come up. Or, you know, Jesus is close to my personality and not yours. That's not true at all. I hope you didn't say, oh, I'm more like Mary and you're more like Martha. But in any context, all of us to some degree walk through personality. There's a question that I've been asked over and over again. Is personality something that God has given us in our relationship with Him, of course, but has God created us with personality as we walk out in life? Or is it nurture? At the same time, is it based on where we've been, how our parents parented us? Is it based on our storyline? Is it based on when we found Jesus for the first time or experienced Jesus? And the simple answer is actually both. It's both. It's not nature versus nurture. It's absolutely both. And personality is shaped over many different ways, but the most important way that our personality should be shaped is through redemption in Jesus Christ. When you are redeemed and you follow Jesus Christ in your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He changes everything, including my motives, my feelings, my past, my future, my present, as well as my personality. So let me go through this really quickly before I pick on you a bit and give some self-awareness skills of when it comes to your personality. But let's go through some of the personality traits of biblical characters. So when you, this isn't on your outline, but if you want to, you can write down these reference points on the side of your outline. Exodus 4:1 is Moses' call into ministry. And if you look at that passage of scripture, Moses is actually not even thinking about God, but he turns and he sees this burning bush where there's no burning there, and he goes to it. Many rabbis think that the burning bush was always burning. It was Moses who saw the burning bush or recognized the burning bush. Don't know necessarily that's something to debate, but that's something to think about and be aware that God is always present. But are we? And so you see scripture that Moses turned and saw the burning bush. And there was this call, as you would know, with Moses. And what did Moses say? I am unworthy. I can't speak. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. And God speaks to his personality. He speaks to all those things and says, no, I'm with you. And you even see to some degree that God is angry with Moses. May I propose that each of us need a burning bush moment with God. May I propose that when it comes to our personalities, even though Moses was insecure and tentative and timid, that God speaks into our personalities truth. And he speaks and brings his presence into that context when we turn to him. When we turn to him. Genesis chapter 25, 26 talks about Jacob, who's called by God, but he's a deceiver and he's a manipulator. And yet God reveals himself and changes Jacob's life. The courageous task risk of Caleb and Joshua in Numbers chapter 14 reveal how they're full of courage. They're risk takers. And they're willing to even take their lives because of the risks they took in front of the whole nation of Israel at the time that was ready to stone them, saying, no, God has given us this promised land. There was a sense of courage there. You see the mercy of Ruth in Ruth chapter 1, verse 4 to 16. The transparent heart of David in Psalm 51 when he sins and yet he comes back to God, he's repentant. The heartfelt lamentations of Jeremiah as the people of God are ripped out of Jerusalem and out of Judea, Israel, and moved to Babylon in Lamentations 2:11. The determination of Hosea and the love in the midst of betrayal and unfaithfulness. You see God's love. The impulsiveness of Peter, you'll hear it if you're going to the second service, but Peter was kind of he would just, shoot off the cuff of his hip a bit. Like he was just so emotional. He would say things that he wasn't thinking through, and yet you see how God transforms and changed him in Matthew 26:33. the loyalty of a Barnabas or a friend in Acts 15, 36 to 39. And Paul, who used to be Saul, turned into Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, is Paul confronts sin. So rather than he's confronting the church now, he's confronting sin. And so these are personality traits. These are expressions of personality as we see throughout Scripture, but you see the interwoven connection of God's presence transforming and changing and revealing and healing and leading people through their personalities. So how about you? How does that look like for you and I? Well, on your outline, there is a self-awareness tool there that you see. It's on the backside of your outline. And if you have a pen with you, what I'm just going to go through with you really quickly is these key areas. And whatever comes to you, I want you to write down an X or a dot where you think on the spectrum you best represent yourself. Not ideal, but real. Not the ideal Andy, but the real Andy, okay? So here's some things that we can go through. Key aspects to your personality. Are you more outgoing in your relationships or more reserved in your relationships? So outgoing means you love being with people all the time. You go to a Canucks game, you see a lot of people and they fill you up. You're cheering, you're clapping, you're giving high fives to everyone around you. You don't care if they wash their hands or not, you're with people. Like you're just, or wearing pit stick, you're just loving being with people. So are you very outgoing or are you reserved? Now, that doesn't mean that you want to be alone. You just like quality relationships. You like being with people over an intimate conversation or a challenging conversation or, you know, dinner with one or two, not necessarily at a Canucks game. So where would you lean to? What fills you the most? Are you more outgoing or are reserved? And I want you to put where that looks like. Now, you might say to me, well, after COVID, I want to be more reserved rather than outgoing. That's okay. It's circumstantial, but these are just indicators, self-awareness when it comes to your personality. Are you self-expressive? In other words, you want to express yourself all the time, as we see with Peter in the New Testament, or are you more self-controlled? You're more reserved when it comes to your emotions. You don't want to share your emotions. You don't want to, perhaps you're more passive with your emotions, or are you more outgoing or expressive when it comes to your emotions? So put an X or a dot where you think you represent yourself the most. You share your opinions or thoughts, or you keep them to yourself. These are ways just to be aware of your personality. The third one is, are you more cooperative? Are you more of a team player, team builder? You want to be a team player? Or are you more competitive, which is you want to reflect and think before you act? It's not necessarily about being in context of a team because you do and are part of a team, but you're more reserved when it comes to a team. So how do you relate with others? The second one is relating to opportunities and situations that you face in your life. Are you more someone with a high risk personality where you take risks all the time, or is someone with low risk? You have to calculate the risks first. Are you more opportunistic when it comes to people? You go to people and you want to find how you cognitive processes through people, or is it through process? You ask a certain amount of questions, or you're more strategic in nature, you're more policy-driven, or you're more purpose or principle-driven rather than people, and you make decisions through principles versus people. Does that make sense? Okay, thanks. We're going really quick here. Do you follow when it comes to opportunities or situations, or do you lead? If there's a crisis, what do you tend to do? Do you want to follow and help and support, or do you feel like you need to take the lead? Put an X or, you know, a dot where you think. Are you more around teamwork, or do you like doing things solo? You can put it right in the middle too if you'd like. Maybe there's certain circumstances and situations that you face that you would tend to be with, but just put it on that spectrum. Routine, or do you like some changes in your life when it comes to your personality? Are you very routine? I know people that would say, okay, I need to go to the bathroom. It's going to take me 90 seconds and I'm going to brush my teeth. It's a minute and a half and I'm going to go have breakfast. I need to take 20 steps to that. And, you know, they're very meticulous. That's just their personality because they want to be productive. Their whole day is like that, where other people want to spice it up a bit and change it up and maybe throw that guy's toothbrush in the toilet, you know, like I really don't know, but we tend to do that. Now, this is very important to understand your self-awareness, because when you're self-aware, you can understand your personality. And when you understand your personality, you can celebrate with God and others how he's created you. Your strengths, your goals, your aspirations, your achievements all come out really from your personality, the motivators of life. But at the same time, not only can you celebrate as well as understand because of self-awareness, the most important, friends, is that if we don't allow Jesus into our personalities, we tend to blindside ourselves in relationship or even in church life, business life, because we live in a relational context in our culture, our community. And so when you understand these things, these become really important for you, not only to understand your personality, but to redeem it according to Jesus. Why? Because to be very honest with you, friends, we are all broken. Even though there's 16 different personalities, as you will see this week, if you can, there's handouts. It's on there's a link there. I should have done a QR code, so apologies for that. But there's a link there. That link will give you to all the different tools that you would like to be a part of, whether it's a Berkman assessment, whether it's a Myers-Briggs assessment. There's many different assessments. There's life keys. If you don't have a computer or you don't want to go onto the internet with that, I have a bunch of different assessments here that you can take. I'll put them in the back there that you can just be aware of your personality. Now, I want to close also before we conclude today, is that can personality change over time? Can personality change because of experience, or do certain things, qualities change on the spectrum? Well, depends who you talk to. Sociologists like Berkman suggest that your personality never changes, but it does soften with self-awareness. So those extremes that you have in your self-awareness when it comes to your personality, that will change. But your personality to its core usually doesn't change. So for example, Mary and Martha, can Martha be a Mary? And can Mary be a Martha? At their very essence, no. But can they understand each other? Can they complement each other? Can they bring out the best in each other? Absolutely. Why? Because Jesus is in the midst. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for my friends in this room. I thank you for this opportunity, especially in our culture today, to be self-aware when it comes to our personalities. Help us to celebrate each other's personalities that are represented in this room. Help us to champion and to bring out the best in each other as you, Jesus, have brought out the best in us. And Father, I pray that if we can be humble and honest with you, Lord, please forgive us when we've made life about ourselves or about our personalities or our differences better than others. Help us to see people as you see them, that we would be like King David, that we would praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, not just in my life, Lord, but in every single person's life here today. And my soul knows it very well. So God, we thank you and we invite you, who've created the heavens and the earth and who speaks to us intimately every day, to continue to transform our personalities into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.